Hey, welcome back to another awesome episode of the Life Fair Show podcast. I'm Jason Wojo, your host. We are continuing this week with part two of my conversation with Steve Cook. If you haven't listened to the first part, it's last week's episode. Go ahead and listen to it right now. It'll bring you up to speed on what we're going to discuss today. And I'm super excited to have you back. Thanks, Steve, for being here. Listen, man, we finished our conversation last time with people maybe being influenced by others around them, by maybe friends, family, society, culture, whatever, and not taking the time to create their own vision. And you gave some great tips on how to do that and how to kind of filter out some of that noise. And I'm curious what your vision has evolved into over the years and how this has played out for you and what you're most passionate about these days.
You know, you're sitting here hitting me up with questions that I hadn't.
I'm putting you on the spot, man.
The questions that you were going to ask me, it would not have been these. But let me just start. I mean, where am I in life right now? I mean, I'm in a season in life right now where I am very busy, but it's not with work. It's really with my family and raising my boys. And I made a very conscious decision some years back that was an area I did not want to fail. I mean, I wanted to be as successful as I could be as a dad and to give my boys the opportunities just to, you know, get to know them, nurture them, and make the most of what they've had. And that's where my primary investments have gone. And many people might feel as though, hey, Steve he's not as out there as he once was. And, you know, we used to see Steve a lot and now we don't see him as much anymore. And that's the reason why. With that in mind, you know, my passion for helping people hasn't changed. In fact, it's probably growing even more and more. And I've been really contemplating what does that look like in the new season of my life. And, you know, the season of raising my boys, I don't know if that's a season that will ever end, but I'm still deep in it and for a little while longer, but I also see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I do contemplate what is next. I'm going to have a lot of free time when my youngest son is out of high school and goes off to college. And let me just say this, before I continue on with, you know, some of the new direction, I want to encourage anybody who just heard what I have said, that the investment that we have made into my boys and the decision that I made to put more effort and time into just really taking care of my family and building up them has paid extreme dividends. The fruit that it has produced is absolutely incredible. I had been sharing with one of my students, and I hope that you find this to be encouraging, but I told him, I said, every once in a while, my wife and I, we just look at one another and we think, you know, we need to pinch ourselves because this can't be real. Our kids are just doing so awesome. They're great. They're thriving. And my one student just like laughed at me and he said, "You're kidding me, aren't you?" And I said, "No, I mean, we feel so blessed." And he said, "Steve, I've been working with you now for quite some time. You've been coaching me for a while." And he said, "This has been your goal ever since I met you. I'm blown away that you're surprised that this is the results that you're getting, because this is where you have invested. This is where you put your time. This is where you put your effort." And so he said, "It's no surprise to me that your kids are absolutely thriving." And so for anyone who, you know, thinks that, hey, you know, I'm going to build my business, I'm going to make a bunch of money, and, you know, then I'm going to give my kids a great life, I want to tell you that you can sacrifice and invest in your kids today. You'll never regret it. I do fear that people will build their businesses, try to make a bunch of money, and by the time they do get to the point that they want to get to, they will have missed out as far as their kids are concerned. So I'll get off my soapbox now and continue on. So, you know, where am I going? You know, my passion today is still helping people. I genuinely want to see people thrive and see people succeed. I have contemplated, you know, oftentimes I still do real estate investing, you know, should I be out there teaching real estate investing? And honestly, it doesn't excite me to teach real estate investing. I really, get excited in teaching real estate investors or business owners how to live successfully, how to build a business that helps them to live and experience a great life. Where one of the new directions that I'm really passionate about is bringing Christ back into the marketplace, and is empowering Christian business owners to invade the marketplace with the love of Jesus and to make a difference that way. As a business owner, I encounter people all the time who might never step foot inside of a church. And the only time they might ever see or interact with Jesus is with their interactions with me or my business or the people who work for me. And how can I make that kind of difference? And so it's not an easy thing. I mean, we've been living in a world for decades that has been telling us that we should not, you know, commingle our faith and our business, that they're supposed to be separate. We're not supposed to bring it in. Years ago, many years ago, it's hard to even think about how long ago it was, when I had my Flipping Homes website, one of the things that I decided to do was put, and I don't want to say I decided to do this because it wasn't just me. I felt that in prayer that God wanted me to do this, was to put a faith corner on my website. And immediately I was getting emails and phone calls from my concerned friends that, Steve, you need to take that down. That's going to be the death of your website. You have a good thing going, and it's going to turn people off, and people are going to, you know, run away from your website. And, you know, I just said to them, I said, I can't take it down. I mean, I didn't put it up there to please the people who are coming to the website. I put it up there because I felt God told me to do it. And he's the one who I need to please. And I said, so if people decide that they're not going to come to the website because it's there, I just have to trust that that's what it was meant to be. And, but I need to honor God. Well, that website just continued to thrive. And that website, I never had a sales letter on that website. I didn't have an email list. I didn't even know what to do to be successful per the world's standards. I tell the story that I made money despite myself because I didn't know what I was doing, yet it was one of the most successful websites out there, and it was making me a lot of money. When people came to work with me who knew how to run websites and knew how to do all those things, they were blown away because I broke every one of the rules. Without having sales letters, without ever sending an email or a newsletter to my following, because I didn't even collect emails. I didn't have their emails to send to. I didn't even know I was supposed to do that. It was just something that was just very blessed. The website in general was blessed because I brought what I've believed to be something that God wanted in my business. It was, and so, you know, today my passion is to help people to bring practices and disciplines into their own lives that help transform them into that person, to help them become more Christ-like, to help them to be more successful. But also, how do we incorporate practices and disciplines into our own businesses that that make us different, that separate us? And just as a quick example, like I said, I still do real estate investing. I still renovate houses. I still build new houses. But at the framing stage of our houses, we go on in and I bring a Sharpie and we start writing scripture on the studs that will be behind the walls. We write scripture on the doorposts. We write scripture on the floors. We put blessings in that home and we pray over that house for the new person who's going to eventually live in that house. While no one is forced to participate in that with me or us, you know, when sometimes it's my wife and I, sometimes it's my wife and my kids who will come on in and help with that, people see it. The guys who come and put the insulation in, they see it. The guys who hang the drywall, they see it. People who might come and look at the house prior to it being completed and, you know, interested purchasers, they see it. It's just a way of bringing Christ into our business. Is one way, just one simple way. And I really want to encourage business owners to be different, to be different in that regard and to be creative. How do I, with pure motives, bring Christ into my business and make a difference in the world that I've been entrusted with? And so, between YouTube videos and Facebook posts and things like that, I'm moving more and more in that direction of teaching people. As resistant as I have been throughout the years to social media, Jason, I mean, I think I went about 5 years without really being on social media. That's certainly not in a meaningful way. In this season of my life, while still pouring into my kids, it's a way that I can reach people. And I still coach. I am passionate. I love coaching my students. I love the groups of people who I coach. The direction as I look ahead is I want to have an impact and equipping entrepreneurs to really make a difference in this world. And that's sort of the message that I'm bringing. And at the end of the day, they still need to make a difference in themselves. That's the first part. It is changing and becoming that successful person. And that's where it all just starts with having a vision for your life, you know, starting with creating the life that you want to live and becoming that person who others want to hear from, who, you know, so that you can make a difference. If you're not living a successful life, if you're not winning at home, if you're not living the life that you want to live, the likelihood of making a difference in the marketplace is pretty slim and close to none.
Well, I remember you sharing at one point how your platform and your success within that platform has allowed you opportunities for people to be influenced by you and to seek you out and to be a voice versus, you know, if your life was a mess and you're not making any money and they're not gonna listen to you for business. If you're having bad relationships, you can't give relationship advice. You know what I mean? Like, so by living it, that's your first credibility booster, I guess you could say, that'll open up the door for people to recognize that, like, hey, this is a legitimate, you know, person with experience in this area that can help me. So you got to get yourself right first is what I'm hearing. Talk to me about vision evolution. You know, was this desire to bring Jesus into the marketplace something that's always been there for you? Or is it just now that timing and events within life have aligned for that? Or has this been a shift in your vision? And when does somebody know whether something is a distraction or a shiny object, or like, hey, this is getting me closer to what I really want, and this other thing was good, but this is even better?
Yes, another great question. the first thing that I'll say is that the vision has evolved. But at the same time, I'm going to contradict that and say, no, it was always a passion of mine. But I lived in the season that I was in. And I think that, you know, this passion, even right from the very beginning, the reason why the Faith Corner was on the Flipping Homes website 20 years ago was because I wanted to share my faith. And so I was sort of exercising what it is that I'm now trying to help other people do today. And just certainly the way that I built out and designed Life and Air to be was to give me access to people to have real, genuine, and sincere relationships, so that these are the kinds of conversations that could ultimately, you know, eventually evolve, you know, through my relationships with them. But the position that God has put me in life, you know, throughout all of this time, when I first started, you know, 20 years ago, I had two daughters. I'll just on a side note real quick, just so where people know where I'm at today, I have 5 children. I have 6 grandkids. I'm in a much different place in life today than I was 20 years ago. And so life has brought many ups and downs and curveballs, and, you know, having a clear vision and knowing, you know, what my purpose in life, is, has helped to make those paths smoother. I've been able to recognize that when in those down seasons, that there was new lessons for me to learn, because ultimately I was going to need that for helping somebody else. And, you know, in the up seasons, we get to celebrate it. But having a vision and a clear path has made things easy. I just brought up, you know, having a clear purpose. I'm going to address that real quickly because, again, I deal with this kind of stuff every day. Just one of my students just yesterday alone, we were talking about what's his purpose. And, you know, he's wrestling. He doesn't know where to go in life because he doesn't know what his purpose is. But I think too many people complicate that. And, you know, if you are asking yourself that question, what's my purpose in life? I'm going to give you what's a very simple answer, and you might not like it because it's too simple, but your purpose is to be the best you can be and love the people who are right in front of you right now. And if you can't make the most of, you know, loving the people across the hall or the people across the street or the people who you work beside and make a difference in their lives right now, you're not going to get a bigger assignment. You need to be trusted with the little bit that's already in front of you, and then something more will come. And so for that mother who is now staying at home with kids, who thinks that she has no purpose in life, there's no greater purpose that you can possibly have than to raise your kids and to be there for them. And I know that we live in a world that doesn't glorify that, but I'll tell you, God who's looking down on you honors that, and I honor that. And I think it's one of the most noble things that somebody can possibly do. And so, you know, embrace that season of life and make the most of it. And through that, God is preparing you for whatever comes next. And so as you asked that question for me, you know, all these different things that God has brought me through and all of my different experiences from, you know, starting out primarily with failed businesses and then very successful in real estate world and then successfully building a real estate investing website and then Life in Air, you know, all of these things have just been preparing me for, you know, ultimately this idea of and perhaps maybe giving me credibility in a platform to equip entrepreneurs to bring Christ into the marketplace. And so it does evolve. We, you know, the vision that we developed and the vision that I developed 20 years ago wasn't a destination. It was a direction. And it was something that, you know, as I continue to move down that path of living my vision, the closer I get to whatever it was I wrote down, my eyes are open to more possibilities. And, you know, every time that you get closer to something, you have more clarity. And so, you know, God just continues to give me clarity and moving me toward where, you know, I'm supposed to go. And I think it's just becoming more and more clear that that passion that I had for bringing Christ into the marketplace before I've been equipped all of these years to now pass some of that along to other people and to equip them to start making a difference through the businesses that God has entrusted to them. That makes sense?
Yeah, totally, man. I love that. Hey, we'll get right back into our interview. But before I do, I want to tell you about something that's incredibly awesome and amazing. And that is what I consider to be our freedom formula in Life in Air. Now, if you're at Life in Air, you've been following us for any period of time, you know we're all about helping you create a life and business you love. You need to have both, right? You can't just have a great life and your business isn't making you any money because that's gonna stink. And you can't have a business that completely takes up all of your free time and you're stressed out and running around with your hair on fire because then you're not gonna have the life you want, right? And so you need to have both of these. And that's why we have two events. We do these all over the country. We do a handful per year. Peter and I teach these personally. And this is the Get a Life Getaway and the Business Builder Workshop. So if you don't have the life you want, you need to put together your vision and your plan for what your blueprint for the ideal life you want to live in every single area and reverse engineer the exact steps to make that a reality. Get to the Get a Life Getaway. If business is your challenge right now and you need to go there first, totally cool. We totally get that. And so come do our Business Builder Workshop because we teach you how to run a real business, not one that requires you to do everything in it and wear all the hats and have you running around with your hair on fire constantly. Like, that's not a business. That's a job. And it's a bad job because you got a bad boss and you're the bad boss. And so let's get you out of that role to help you create a business you love that works without you. So you have time for the vacations. You have time for life's curveballs. You have time to do all the things you want to do and the finances to support that and finance it. So go to lifeinner.com right now. We also have a very special offer on both of these events. And I can't tell you how long it's going to last because I don't know. Peter, tell them about the special promo we've set up.
So here is the special promo we got for you. Because you're a loyal listener to us, you listen to the podcast, you endure the listening to both of us here every single week, we have a special 50% off coupon. That's 50, half of it off. So when you go to lifeinair.com, click on the tab up at the top of the page called events. Pick the event that you want to go to. At the checkout page, there is an area called the promo code. Type in the word podcast, P-O-D-C-A-S-T. That's my English language. I think I got this right. Podcast, right? Yeah. Hit apply and you're going to instantly get 50% off your ticket price. Come to the event, introduce yourself to us. We're going to be there. Tell us you found us on the podcast. You got it from here. We love meeting the listeners from the podcast. And let's help you create the life that you want and your business that you love.
Let's do it. We'll see you guys at an event soon. Put this on the calendar. This will change your life. This will change your business. Let's get back to our podcast episode right now. And this is where I think, you know, I'm glad you went into that, because I feel sometimes people have this aversion to creating a vision because they feel like, I need all the answers. I need, especially our recovering or current perfectionists who feel like once they write it, it's in stone, it's going on a tablet somewhere that's going to be immortalized forever and that it can never change. What I feel is, you know, you said it, is like the closer you get to something, the more clear it becomes. I feel like your vision is something that as you walk it, it develops, it evolves. You get more clarity. Some things that you think you wanted maybe aren't quite what you thought they were going to be. And then other things that maybe you wouldn't have naturally expected or thought, like, you're drawn to. And like, so it's just, I think it's an awareness. It's a freedom and a confidence to pursue it. And an intuition for many people, not for everybody, but a prayerful, deliberate kind of like inclusion of that as well, because that can be very revealing and helpful. So I love that. What are some of the things in, like, you know, so here we are now, we're recording this episode at the end of 2024. What are some of the things that you're seeing your students struggle with today or looking to focus on, or maybe some trends that have started to surface for you as of late that maybe our audience could benefit from?
You know, I think that one of the things that people are really starting to embrace again, and, you know, we've talked about seasons a couple of times, and I think that for a period of time, we were going through this season of just tremendous financial prosperity. People were just making a lot of money, and then somewhat of a correctionary period. Yet people are still doing good and still doing well. Certainly not really struggling and wrestling, but in times of prosperity, people lose sight of simplicity. And as things are tightening up a little, people are starting to really revisit simplicity and seeing the value of simplicity. You know, sometimes when we bring up that word simplicity and some other words come along with that, you know, it could be frugal, could be cheap. You know, there's people have their own, their different definitions of what simplicity is. I happen to think simplicity is more of a mindset. Because I'm actively coaching, I had this conversation just this morning. One student, you know, asked me to define simplicity. I said, well, it's really difficult to define. And he said, well, how would you define it? And I said, well, you know, for me, I feel like anything that would hinder my ability to love is something that needs to be righted in my life. It either I need to put it in its proper place, or I need to get rid of it. I need to remove it. If it's something that's a real battle, it just needs to be taken out or put it into the right perspective. How can I use that? How can I use that desire? How can I use that ambition to actually be more loving? For me, I think that what most people end up recognizing as they go through this whole vision process, and it's a maturing process. We've alluded to the different phases of what people go through. They usually start out with what they want, then it's what they want to experience, and then they start realizing the value of relationships. Then they start thinking about who they want to become, not what they want to have or what they want to experience, but who do they want to become. And then eventually, giving back. You know, how do I give back? And how do I begin to make a difference? How do I love other people? How do I give other people life? And, you know, so there's this sort of progression that people may go through as they go down this path of becoming a life and heir. But in the middle of all of that, when you get to that point and you start realizing it's not just about how much money I make. It's not just about how, you know, my net worth. And that's what the world says our goal should be. You start valuing different things. And then simplicity, you realize that sometimes those things that we were pursuing are the things that actually get in the way of what's most important to us. And we're so focused on it. So I shared a story just this morning about a guy who decided to do an inner city ministry. And this will just really strike, you know, that the extremes of where we can go. This guy prided himself on being very organized, being a good steward of all the things that were entrusted to him. Whenever he made a purchase, or particularly any significant purchase, he wanted to do all of his, you know, research and make sure he made a good purchase. And he wanted to make the things that he bought last. He wanted it to last, you know, forever. Well, anyway, as part of this inner city ministry that he was doing, he was attending an inner city church. And there was always this woman who would come on up to him and give him hugs. And by his own admission, it was hard to give her a hug. She was very unkempt. She never cleaned. He doesn't even know if she really took showers. She was wearing the same clothes every time he saw her. She just, you know, really filthy. And she wanted to, you know, come to his house for dinner. And the thought of that would just cross his mind. Like, I don't want this woman coming to my house for dinner. I got all this beautiful furniture and she's going to ruin my furniture. My house is clean. Everything's in order. I've been doing a good job of taking care of all the things that God has entrusted me with. And so he kept on putting this woman off. And one day he would just felt very convicted that this idea of being a good steward, not a bad thing. Being a good steward is a good thing. But he was holding on to that so tightly, it was hindering his ability to love. And he was purposely not inviting this woman to his house because he thought he'd have to cover all his furniture with plastic and put plastic on the floors. And he eventually invited this woman to his house. And the very first thing she did was go sit in his favorite recliner. And he said the recliner has never been the same since. And he's had her over his house now many times to the point where she says, that's my chair. It's the first place she goes all the time. But what he's experienced in the relationship with her is so much more rich than having a clean recliner. And he had to get over recognizing that, you know, his stuff, his possessions, you know, being a good steward of his possessions were hindering his ability to love. And, you know, those are the kinds of conversations I have with a lot of the people who I'm coaching today is how, you know, what's keeping me from being a better person? What's keeping me from serving and loving more people? What's keeping me from making more of a difference? And sometimes the things that are keeping us appear to be good things. And this is where just a continuous self-evaluation and examination of who we are, what we're doing, and a willingness to let go, to open up our hands and to let go so that we can, you know, be who we're called to be. And today that guy just thanks God for the recliner that his neighbor loves. But what appeared to be something pure, he's evolving, he's learning. And just wanting to honor God with, I'm going to take care of the things that you've entrusted to me, became a hindrance to being who God really was calling him to be. So as we pursue simplicity, simplicity comes in many different forms. I don't want people to think that it is poverty. I don't want people to think that it is frugality. I think it's a mindset and it's a willingness to let go. And you can have extreme wealth. You could have beautiful things. You can have nice things, and life can still be simple if you put those into the right place in your life. But in some cases, just like Jesus asked the rich young ruler, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Jesus wasn't saying, I want you to live a lesser life. What Jesus was offering him was something better. And he was offering him a better life. But Jesus knew that this guy's possessions were a hindrance to love and all that life had to offer, which is why he was asked to do it. And that goes back to I had brought up that I pray that God will give me the character to handle, you know, the things that he trusts me with. And at any point that I don't have that character, I either got to build in character or I got to let go of the things that are getting in my way. And so in any case, simplicity, there seems to be this major move back toward simplicity. And I always feel like that when and I've been, you know, investing and been in business now for quite some time, we've had cycles where that prosperity comes a whole lot easier than other times. And I think people have this move away from simplicity during those prosperous cycles. And then, but that longing never goes away. And today they're longing to get back there because they've complicated life and they've created, you know, hurdles toward living and experiencing the life that they want to live. They have more money today, they have more net worth, but now they want back, they're moving back towards simplicity.
You know, and I think to your point, this shows up in many different ways. And I think of like simplicity of like eliminating anything that's a distraction, stressful, something that takes your eye off the ball of what's more important. So I almost think of like living a life of simplicity is trading up something of lesser value that perhaps at one point was really important. And let's use material possessions for the illustration. You know, maybe you have a bunch of toys, like maybe you've got a bunch of man toys and snowmobiles and motorcycles and whatever. And those things have become a distraction to you and they're clutter. You don't enjoy them anymore. You don't use them anymore. Meanwhile, they're still taking up bandwidth. They're taking up finances. They're taking up things that could be diverted to elsewhere in your life that will get you closer to your vision. And that, you know, maybe that season has passed for you. And so you're not like, to your point, you're not like, it's not a net negative move. It's a net positive move because now you're really allowed to and enabled to focus on the things that are more important to you. And so that, you know, it's a move. And it also, there's also something there, I think is a side note of stewardship and of letting go. And like that exercise of letting go of things is probably beneficial in and of itself, regardless of actually getting rid of it itself is one thing, but the exercise of letting go of those things is valuable as well.
I think it's an absolute great point. I mean, there is a very positive, you know, side to letting go. There's a very positive side. And again, just to reiterate what I said about the Jesus and the rich young ruler, Jesus wasn't offering him something lesser. Jesus was offering him something so much more. And he was offering him freedom. And, you know, through simplicity, he would be able to experience a more prosperous and abundant life. But it wasn't defined the way that the rich young ruler was defining it at that time. Having said that, I do want to just take your example of, you know, somebody having all of the man toys and what it means to put things into the right place. And perhaps offer just a different example, because again, there isn't a right or a wrong answer. You know, should everybody let go and sell all that stuff and give it away? And the answer isn't necessarily black and white. Could you utilize all those man toys and use it for connection, for relationship, to help other people to have experiences that they would not otherwise experience? Could you bring a group of people together to all use your man toys and all have fun and during that time, you know, live life and love one another? So I don't want people to just think, you know, having man toys is a bad thing. It's not a bad thing if it's in the right place in your life. Now, I don't want to put that out there and offer that up as an excuse for somebody to say, well, you know, I'm not going to get rid of my man toys. I'm going to hold on to them because someday I'm going to use them for connection. You know, if you're not going to be intentional and use it right now, then let go. And, you know, if the intent is for you to someday use those kinds of things for connection, God will open the door and bless you with the ability to bring them back into your life when you're ready for that. And so there isn't a right or wrong answer. And so the last thing in the world I want to do is paint this formula that everybody has to do it this way if they're going to live simple, if they're going to live blessed, if they're going to have abundance. It's different for each and every person. Almost all of it, it comes from our heart and our mind and how we see it and how we view it. I told somebody just a few days ago, you know, they said, well, it took me many, many, many years to become a Lifeinair. And I said, actually, it didn't take you many years to become a Lifeinair. They said, oh yeah, it did. Don't you remember how long it's taken me? And I said, you became a Lifeinair the moment you made the decision. You are still living with the consequences of your past decisions, and it's taken you years to overcome those consequences so you can realize the fruits. But the moment you change your heart and your mind toward wanting to live and experience an abundant life and starting to do things different, you became a Lifeinair in that moment. But it took time for you to see the fruit of making different decisions to get there. And where you're at today, the years that it took you was years of making the right decisions. And so letting go is in our heart and our mind. It's, you know, if we can't do that, we can't let go of something in our heart and mind, then perhaps it's time to sell it and move on from it. Give it away, move on from it. But free ourselves of the burden of being a good steward, you know, is one of the things that could be a hindrance to love.
Well, man, I want to just highlight something you said there. You maybe you don't have a vision yet. Maybe you're listening to this and you don't know what you want for your life, or maybe you have some sort of idea. But I want you to realize, like, in some parts of that vision, you can start living today. You can start living immediately. Maybe it's something, you know, just maybe if it's a relationship thing, maybe letting someone know you love them, or it's making an initiative somewhere else in your life of something you want to change. And other parts, to Steve's point, like, it's going to take you some time to unwind it. And that's okay. Like, you start making progress. It all starts with the decision. And then it moving in that direction. Would you agree with that?
100%. And you were talking earlier about vision, and we were talking about, you know, it being journey, and sometimes people don't know, but as you get closer, it gives you clarity. You need to think of your vision as giving you direction, and it's a guidepost. And you never get there, but as you move in that direction, life begins to change. And as you get closer to the guidepost, you get more clarity and you can see the next guidepost. Or, you know, you just keep on moving in that direction. And that's really all vision does, is it gives you a direction that helps you to make decisions on the way that you live and experience your life. And the longer you're on that journey, the more little steps you take toward it, the more fruit that you'll see, and the more rewarding your life will be.
Love it, man. Listen, Steve, we're out of time. I'm so grateful for this conversation. Really, really powerful stuff you shared. And you're such a blessing to so many people. I'm so grateful for our friendship and our relationship. Where do people find out more about you, and where can they find you?
Well, obviously through Life and Air, but stevecook.com as well. And I'm not doing it. Other people are doing it for me, but we're posting stuff on YouTube and Facebook, and really just sharing tips and tricks about living life and how to be successful and redefining success. So I will just say, on a different note, one thing that we didn't bring up at all is that, you know, the Lifeinair book, there's over 50,000 copies of this book in print today. And there's a reason why people are reading it. And so many people have this on there. This is their book that they read on a regular basis. They read it once a year, or every couple of years they come back to it and they read it. I just spoke with a guru a week ago who said, Steve, I'm getting ready to go on vacation with my wife again, and we're reading the book again. And your book is the thing that has given us direction in life. It has been the thing that's been the biggest blessing. We're gonna read it again. So I want to encourage people, if you haven't read it, pick up a copy and read it. It's an easy read. and it will get you started on this journey. And, you know, hopefully after you read the book, we'll find you at a Get a Life event where you're working on your vision and taking intentional steps about living and experiencing a more abundant life.
Love it. Thanks, man. Well, listen, if you guys have enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and share with somebody who you know needs to hear this encouraging, life-changing message. And we'll see you next week, everyone. Thanks again, Steve.
Thank you.